Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Good morning, Rock of Ages. It's good to be in the presence of the Lord. I realize that we are not at our venue or our church, but we established a place where you're at right now in your home as well as where I am at. We establish it as holy ground. So it's good to be in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much for coming out this morning and in the comfort of your home and allowing me to come in to minister to you this Sunday morning. Take time as I speak to you and make my introduction, if you will, to text your friends, pass this link on, and have everybody that you know chime in with us, if you will, and come on and join us for church this morning. Get your kids together, get comfortable, get your coffee, and just make yourself at home. And let's get into God's Word today. I believe that the Lord is going to bless us and really give us great instruction and encouragement. It's a little peculiar Sunday morning for me as I begin to speak to you. I've got a very special friend of mine and guest that many of you know. He's been with us in the past few years. And he's going to be sharing pretty much the meat, if you will, or the body of the message today. I was planning this morning and I had in my mind that I will be preaching to you on the topic of preparation versus panic. And as I was doing so, I took a time off a little bit and went off to look at some of my friends that I have on the internet, and I ran across Mario Murillo. And again, as a ministry that I follow, I really enjoy him. He's a good friend of mine. And I saw that he put out a clip, if you will, a 15-minute sermonette. And he was talking exactly about the very topic I want to speak to you about today. So you're going to see me just basically introduce this whole thing to you, give you the gist of the message, and then I'm going to have you watch him. You're going to be really blessed. But before we begin, again, as I thank you for allowing me to come into your home, and again, I hope that you're texting your friends and letting everybody in and get some people out here to receive Jesus and to receive his message. Let's pray for the offering this morning. And as I do that, I want to thank every generous giver, every tither, every kingdom giver. Thank you that to this day, in spite of how long it's been that we've been away from each other, we've been able to sustain. And it's nothing else but the grace of God and your love for him and this ministry. I really believe in my heart. I asked you guys to pray when I prayed with you last time on Facebook, that the Lord would give us a green light to when it is it's going to be that we're going to come back to our church in full color, if you will. And I really believe in my heart that the day is coming really quick. So hang on a little bit. Don't despair. Don't be impatient. We're coming back to Rock of Ages, and we're going to have a great time in the Lord. But I thank you that because of your giving and your generosity, we're able to continue keeping our venue open and clean, and it's ready to go. Rock of Ages, the building is crying out for us to fill it up with our praises and worship once again. Amen? But so let's pray for our offering this morning as I get into this morning's word. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be encouraged today. It's going to give us great instruction. Again, the theme and topic was preparation versus panic. But let's pray first. Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for every listener, everyone who is watching this program right now, Lord, as I share this devotional of your word into their hearts. Father, I thank you for them. I thank you for the faithful stewardship of everyone who is listening, those who are, Father, just free will givers, Lord, and just generously offer unto you on a weekly basis, sometimes daily basis. They continue to pour in finances because they love you and because they love Rock of Ages as well. Reward them, I pray, generously, as their hearts reveal their generosity to you. Thank you for every faithful steward. Father, those who have been so faithful in providing their tithes to the house of the Lord. And Lord, I thank you especially as well for the kingdom givers, Lord, who continue to give over and above their giving and their tithing. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to sustain the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Rock of Ages is still waiting for all of us to come back with great excitement to just have a great time in your presence corporately. Father, I thank you and I pray for everyone who's listening to my voice that you would just bring healing upon them, protection. Keep us safe, Lord. I know the day is coming soon when you're going to turn us loose to come back home. Meanwhile, it's our responsibility, Father, to keep Rock of Ages well, our financial responsibilities just up to date. And Lord, we thank you because that's exactly what we're doing. And I thank you for the love of your people. Bless them, bless their finances, bless their home. Provide for them, Lord, as only you can, according to the riches of your glory, Father. And just reward them, Father God, as you know how. Allow them always to dwell in the bounty and the blessing of your hand. We thank you for this morning. In the name of Jesus, bless your word. Bless this day, bless this service, and bless your holy name, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. As I said, I wanted to speak to you this morning on the topic of panic versus preparation. And I began to write my notes, and I had taken out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You've heard me mention this passage several times, and I'm going to read this to you just kind of to set the platform. And then I'm going to go ahead and switch over and allow Mario to come and speak to you and share, I guess, if you will, the premise, the gist of this whole message this morning, okay? And I thank him for allowing us to be able to use his clip. As I spoke to him, he said, go ahead, brother. He sends his regard to all of Rock of Ages. He loves you, and we hope to bring him back soon as well. But I'm going to read out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 10, if you will. And this is the time of Jehoshaphat when he was king over Israel. There came a time of battle, as you well know the story, but let's read it. Now behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not allow to invade when they came from the land of Egypt, for they turned away from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us. This is Jehoshaphat speaking to the Lord. He's complaining because he had just gotten note that these people, the Ammonites and Moabites, were coming to destroy them and to battle greatly with them, and they feared in their heart because of the challenge. And so he says, for they turned away from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. Here they come, these enemies we gave a break to before, if you will, in the previous battle. We didn't destroy them, but now they're paying us back with violence, and they're trying to take everything we have away. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless against this great multitude which is coming against us. We do not know what to do. But our eyes are on you. That's a key. I want you to remember that. During this whole pandemic, the whole rebellious attitude that we have in this world today, it's important for us to keep our eyes on the Lord. And so he continues. And for the sake of time, I'm going to go ahead and skip some of this passage. But you can read it on your own. Chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. But he goes on to explain. He said, Lord, did you not do this for us? Did you not do that and the other for us? I mean, how is it possible that now we're going to face the destruction of this marauding army that's coming to destroy us? Amen. And the Lord doesn't really respond to the fact that he's afraid or how we're going to do it or anything like that. The Lord just gives him counsel. He tells him simply what to do. And the first thing he says to him is, don't be afraid. This battle that you're going to face is not yours. I'm going to take care of it. Don't you worry about that. And so he goes on to say, the Lord does, he says, O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go against them, for the Lord is with you. That should bring all the confidence in the world for us, those of us who trusted him. Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground, and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping him. The Levites and the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of Korathites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a very loud voice. So they got up early in the morning, and they went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe and trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. That is, you will be secure. Believe and trust in his prophets and succeed. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord, and those who praised him in their holy priestly attire, if you will, as they went out before the army and said, praise and give thanks to the Lord, for his mercy and loving kindness endure forever. So this is what the Lord has spoken to Jehoshaphat to do. Listen, what you need to do is you need to worship me. You need to love me. And you're going to see how God himself is going to take care of this whole thing. But all of a sudden, this is where I want us to focus on a little bit, if you will. He said, it goes on to say, after they began to worship and praise, when they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. who had come against Judah. So they struck down in defeat. For the sons of Ammon and Moab, suspecting betrayal. This is not amongst the other people from Judah. It was amongst themselves. They began to betray themselves and feel a sense of distrust amongst themselves. Suspecting betrayal, rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, completely destroying them. So you have these enemy armies coming against each other. As they were going to go fight all together corporately against Judah, a spirit of confusion came amongst them that the Lord loosened upon them, that they began to distrust each other and they began to kill each other literally, completely destroying them. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And the men of Judah came to look out on the lookout tower of the wilderness, and they looked toward the multitude of the armies coming against them, and there were dead bodies lying around on the ground, and no one had escaped. This is a very powerful message, especially, I believe, very relevant to our times now. In a world right now that we see so much chaos going on. Again, we go back to the arguments and that murderous spirit that is loose in this world today. All the burning, the killings, the shooting of that young little baby boy. I mean, just useless and absolutely with no reason they took the life of that baby. And so it's just mad. It's a mad world. And as I was praying about this, I said, Lord, why has all this happened? And somehow in my heart, I can't tell you I heard the audible voice of God, but I had a witness in my spirit. And I've said this before many times to people that I've spoken, other pastors that call me and I text with and stuff. I feel like as if the Lord has loosened a very spirit of confusion, just like he did in the times of Jehoshaphat. Because now you'll see that this BLM thing and the Antifa thing, they're killing their own people. If this really was a Black Lives Matter situation, whatever, then it would be completely racial and only the white people would be getting hurt. But they're just going across each other and they're betraying. They have that feeling of betrayal amongst each other. They're killing each other. And so I feel that we're living a time as it is in the time of Jehoshaphat, where the people, again, have lost their senses. There's great deception. You see, I really believe, and you'll hear Mario repeat this, and I had written it down on my notes. This is why I found this clip that we're going to share this morning with you. So relative to what I'm speaking to you today, is that today the problem is not destruction. I mean, what's being destroyed today, yeah, are a couple of cities here and there. When you compare the nation as big as it is and how many people we are, it's actually minute. It's not a real big 30% of the United States or 50%, but it's a minute percentage of destruction. And so I feel that destruction is not what we should fear. Destruction is not what really all of this is all about. It's deception. The people are being deceived right now. They're hearing voices in their minds and in their hearts. This is why they speak senselessly. When you see young people who are supposed to be very elevated in their academics from Harvard, Yale, and Berkeley, and all these places, and they speak senselessly. They cannot reason at all. They'll say, listen, why do you think this is happening? We hate you, we hate you. And then this and the other. And they start speaking vulgarities without any sense. And that the reporters are basically saying, oh, okay, that wasn't my question. You can't converse with me. You can't have a reasonable conversation. They're just screaming. And all it is a very horrible spirit of confusion has taken over these particular people of this day today. And so this is why I titled my message, Preparation versus Panic. Because a lot of the church today is panicking. What's going to happen? Here comes the election. It's going to get worse. And all this and the other. And we're panicking versus what I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts today. And it's confirmed today because as I speak to other ministers around, they seem to have the same message going on. And so it's very comforting to me. And to know that we are, I believe, in line with what God wants us to speak to the churches today. And so there is a great, great confusion. Again, deception. People are believing a deceiving word. Now, another thing that you may notice, those of you who, surf the internet, there's a lot of prophecy going on. A lot of people having dreams and visions and knowledge and foreknowledge. And I'm text on a daily basis, Pastor, what do you think about this? And I pass it on to people just to get them to think on things as well. But again, I'm going to say this because you know this. My forte is not on prophecy, if you will. I enjoy it, I read it, but I don't feel myself the strength of the Lord to be able to go through a very systematic teaching on prophetic utterances and whatever. My forte, as you've seen, has always been consecration and salvation. And there's a very simple reason for that. Because I believe that if we spend time trying to figure out what happens with the wheel within the wheel and how many heads this monster, how many eyes this particular, or what Ezekiel said or Daniel said about this, which is all good. I'm not discrediting it. There are men who are very wise and have received the word of the Lord. But for me, I've always understood it this way. If I can keep myself saved, if I can learn how to walk with God and be secure and know what the heart of God has for me, I know that the day will come when he raptures us, that the one who really knows what all of this means will sit at his feet on that day, in the feet of Jesus, and he'll explain every prophetic utterance that he spoke and gave to us in the world. I mean, in the Word. And so, again, this is my disclaimer as to why you'll never hear me really speaking about in-depth prophecy. But there's a lot of prophetic words going on. You see, and to me, still, I'm anchored to the fact that if we prepare versus panic, if we prepare trying to find out what's going on, how do we do, how many guns do we need, how many protective things do we need, how do we go buy food, do we do this and the other, and people are panicking because apparently this, in the eyes or in the minds of many people who have prophesied, we're getting ready to face a great time of doom this coming November. And others speak of great revival as well. We'd much rather listen to great revival than doom, of course. But nevertheless, there are two spectrums. You are either on one side or the other. You're either preparing right now, or you may be panicking a little bit. But again, I believe that today, it's a time of preparation. We need to prepare. And as I'm reading the Bible, I'm going like, would the Lord allow all this confusion to go on? And I believe he will. And the Bible reveals times when the Lord loosened this particular spirit of stupor, if you will, where now the enemy himself is going to begin to destroy themselves. One particular passage is Romans chapter 1, verse 18, if I can read that for you quickly. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the goodness and wickedness, all the godliness and wickedness of the people, who suppressed the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them. You see, everybody knows that God exists. If they didn't believe he existed, they wouldn't be fighting against him for so many years. Why would they want to erase the name or the person of someone who they believe does not exist? They would allow Christians to just be crazy and let them believe in whatever they want. But they know he's real. And that's why they insist on trying to destroy and discredit who he is and make us change our minds. He says, what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There's no excuse. No one will be able to stand before the Lord and say, wow, I didn't know you were real, God. No, the Lord has revealed it to us. Science has tried to discredit him, but science has no other ultimatum, if you will, but to bow, because science proves that there is a creator and nothing was evolution. And he goes on to read in the same chapter of Romans, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged for the glory of the immortal God for images that look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, here goes. This is a key passage about the Lord loosening a spirit of confusion. Amen. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual immorality and degrading their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves a due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so they would do what ought not to be done. That is, listen, you want to play with fire? This is what God is saying. You want to play with that? You're insisting and that you want to keep doing that, well, here you go. Knock yourself out. And so today we have this whole mess in this world where men are dying of AIDS and all these things, all these shameful things, all this perversion, all this pornography, all this pedophilia that's going on. All these things, God said, you want to play with that? Go ahead. And you're going to see how you're going to destroy your own lives. He says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, and deceit, and malice. They are gossip and slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways to do evil. Doesn't that really reveal what we're going through today? People are just inventing all kinds of evil. There's a race to see who can be more evil these days. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but they also approve of those who practice them. So now people are encouraging others, come on, join us in this, all this depravity, all these immoral things. Join us, it's the right thing to do. And so they're kind of growing their group, if you will. And now you hear it in Portland, now you hear it in Seattle, now you hear it in New York, and all these places, because they're trying to grow and infect the world with this particular mentality. It's not going to happen. It's never happened before. God is going to step in. And this is why it's important for us to find a sure anchor. And the fact that God knows about this, He's known this already. He knew that 2020 and 2021, we were going to face these things. And so here we are. We see like history repeat itself again. The Lord is going to do a cleansing. That's what I want you to prepare for. God is going to do a cleansing. Not a time to panic. Not a time to panic, but a time to prepare. God is going to be doing a cleansing, not only in the world, but in the churches. And you'll hear Mario speak about that a little bit, about playing church and not being serious. Why? Because of the spirit of deception. This is what Jesus responded to the disciples when they asked him, Lord, when are you going to come and establish your kingdom? The Lord didn't even respond to their question. Well, you know, this and the other. He did later in Acts chapter 1, but not even giving them a time, because he said the time or the hour only the Father knows. But when they asked him this particular question, the Lord said, listen, just make sure of this, that you are not deceived. Yet you are not deceived. Lord, give us an idea of when you're coming. You know, in my own particular thought, in my, again, own philosophy, if you will, I find it very crafty of us as people that sometimes we ask, when is this going to happen? And the reason we're asking is not because we're excited to be waiting for it, but because we want to find out how long we can live the way we're living. In the case of a Christian saying, Lord, when are you coming? If the Lord said, I'm coming November 16th at 4 o'clock, I believe that many, many upon many Christians will play until 5 o'clock on that November day. And then the last 30, 40 minutes, take time to repent and say, Lord, I love you, this and the other. And so they'll play their evil games all this time. Well, there's no time for that anymore. And this is why the Lord said, listen, you're going to be suspicious of this. You're going to be questioning about this. But I'm not going to tell you. Why? Because no one knows the hour of the coming of the Son of Man. All you know, as a laborer, as someone, a believer, make sure that you are ready. What's that mean? Make sure that you're prepared. Be prepared. Don't panic. Prepare. For the world today and those who are screaming out death and all these things, for them it's going to be an ugly day of just terrible, terrible pain and suffering. But for them, for us, it's going to be a great day of glory if we prepare. Here's Mario to give you a little bit more on this.
Hello, it's Mario Murillo. You know, I've made myself a promise never to make a video just to fulfill an obligation. If I don't have a word from the Lord, I don't need to make one of these. Will disaster strike in November? You know, there have been a lot of videos, voices, people that are prophets telling us that America literally is going to be in collapse by the month of November. And I don't know how many people have contacted me to say, what should I do? How do I handle this? What is my reaction to everything that's being said about November? You know, my friend, I want you to take a few minutes and sit with me, because a good leader doesn't answer the question they've been asked. Often they don't do that. They will answer the question that should have been asked. Let me give you a vivid example of what I'm saying. In Matthew 24, Jesus walked through the amazing buildings of Jerusalem at that time. And the disciples were in awe of all the structures. And suddenly Jesus says, not one of these buildings will be left. They will be destroyed so completely that there won't be one brick on top of another. And they asked him, when will this happen? They wanted a date. And I want to explain why they wanted a date. They wanted to get their money in order. They wanted to get their lives in order. They wanted to prepare. That's exactly what people are doing with all of these words about the month of November. Is Trump going to lose? Is the money going to collapse? Are we going to have riots in the street? Is the virus going to take over? Is a new calamity going to strike? And so their question is, when will the disaster come? Here's what I want you to do, is listen to what Jesus said. He didn't give them a date. He said, take heed that you are not deceived. Think about that for a moment. Because what it is telling us, and what you need to hear, is that the number one problem now is not disaster, not disease, not even destruction, but deception. Being deceived by voices, by prophets, by false headlines, that is it. So what I want to talk to you about is becoming disaster-proof. So it's my people are going to say, well, Mario, aren't you skirting the issue? You're not telling us about November. I'm not skirting the issue. I'm telling you how to become disaster-proof. I'm telling you that what's going to happen in November is not nearly as important as what God is trying to do inside of you in advance of November. So let's begin. And pardon me, I'm going to look down. I don't have a fancy teleprompter, but I will read and I want you to follow me. Understand the difference between preparation and panic. God has always warned people. He warned the Pharaoh through Joseph that a famine was coming and told him what to do about it. It actually turned a minus into a plus. Today, paranoia is the criminal. It is the enemy of our soul. The idea that I need to do something drastic. I need to hoard something, buy something, move to somewhere, and relocate. What you need is to listen to the voice of God. God will give you instructions well in advance. The key at this point is that the body of Christ will be divided into two categories. Those who are obedient and listening, and those who are hanging on to a fantasy of the easy believism of the past and not preparing themselves by going deeper into God. Rather than rushing off to get extra rolls of toilet paper, you need to get alone with God and get a distinct sense of His presence and His voice, because He will way in advance tell you exactly what to do in the next few days, in the next few weeks. If Jesus said in Luke 12, you love your children and you give them great gifts and you see to it that they're covered, how much more will your heavenly Father take care of you? And then later on, he goes on to say, do not be like the Gentiles, asking, what will we eat? What will we wear? What, wherewith shall we be clothed? You know, these are the things that people worry about. What you need to understand is the greatest survival preparation in the world is right relationship with God. That will cover everything. Now, God wants you to prepare, but not to panic. You must trust God to give you special instructions. Isaiah 26:20 is an excellent example of this. Come, my people, enter into your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little while until the indignation is past. Verse 21, listen carefully. The Lord is about to come out of his heavenly place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their wickedness, their sin, their injustice, their wrongdoing. The earth will reveal the innocent blood shed upon her and no longer cover her slain. Now, this is how we prepare. We get to the next point to understand that judgment is surgical. What do you mean by that? Surgical. Every successful surgery involves the removal of what's killing you so that the tissue which is healthy can survive. We are about to watch God decimate sections of the American culture in the next few months. But it is judgment on the wicked. And this is what God is doing. He is causing Satan to overplay his hand. Right now, California has a bill that will allow children as young as 8 years old to take pills and medicine that will postpone puberty so that they can decide their gender. That's how insane California government has become. In a world like that, God is in heaven sitting on his throne saying, what shall I do? Allow America to be destroyed, swallowed up in the quicksand of immorality, or will I save her? And in order to save her, God has provoked Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and several other forces that are Marxist in order to get them to behave in extreme manner, almost as if like a parent that tried to get their child off of cigarettes by making them smoke an entire pack of cigarettes until they're nauseated by it. The extremes of the next few months are by design, and they are there for America to finally root out and repudiate. That's the design. The design is for God to pull out by the roots the hatred of our forefathers, the idea of how America should be dismantled and redone. We have crazy government, crazy governors, crazy mayors, and crazy cities. And it may be that God is judging a section of the American culture so that society will once and for all say we have got to reject and surgically remove this segment. But at the same time, here's what God says to his church in the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verse 11. For the Lord spoke to me, saying, with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of these people. Do not say a conspiracy concerning all that these people consider a conspiracy. And don't be afraid of their threats or be troubled by what they are troubled by. It says, the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread, and he will be as a sanctuary, the bomb shelter that you need, the emotional additive that you need is to press into God, to press into God with all your might. Because here is what the third chapter of Isaiah says in the verse 10. Say to the righteous, it will be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be bad for them, for they shall receive the reward of their hand. That's surgery. On the one hand, we will watch destruction. On the other hand, we will watch protection. So God is saying this, and it's beautiful because this wonderful understanding, it says that God told his people, enter into your chambers until the tribulation be overpassed, for the Lord is coming out of his throne to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Yes, punishment is coming. But it will not necessarily devastate you if you listen to when God says hide when you calmly obey his instructions of what to do, and you faithfully are present to do what the Lord wants. Part of that doing what pleases God involves separating yourself from the carnality in so many churches. Don't play the Christian incorporated game. That's leading to disaster. They are in denial. They are like the best party going on the Titanic. They don't see the need to repent. They don't see the need to press in. They don't understand the urgency of being near to God at this time. Now I want to make one final point about November, and I hope you'll understand that this probably is the key to everything. You know, child of God, God made you promises, didn't he? He promised you things. And you know what Satan has done? Satan has come to you and said the pandemic changed all that. Satan has come to you and said the riots on the streets and the political chaos has changed all that. It's as if heaven has had a power outage. It's as if we believe that some sort of overruling of the words that God has given us. God gave you a prophetic utterance about your children. He gave you one about your money, your health, your future, your destiny. Many of you received words from God about what you were going to do in the future. But let me tell you with all my heart, don't you know that God knew what was coming when he made that promise? It wasn't like God said, you know, I should have thought of this before I told you that. He's not a human being that says to people, you know, the deal's off now because of everything that's happened. We can't do the deal I said we were going to do originally because of all the bad things that have happened. My friend, God's word is certain. God made you that promise knowing everything, the full fury of what's on the earth. God was aware of it when he promised that. And that stands. That stands. The Bible tells us that though the earth be removed, I will trust him. We are far from that level, my friend. I want you to understand that I do not know what may happen in November. But I do know that God is going to take care of his own. He's going to warn them in advance. And they're actually going to find a way to thrive. The most fearful thing of the hour we're living in is how much God loves America. God loves America so fiercely that his enemies had better understand that before this nation goes under, God is going to roll up his sleeves and give the devil the fight of his life. Therefore, rest in the Lord, prepare in the Lord, press into the Lord, and the Bible promises he will be a sanctuary. God bless you. I'm praying for you.
Praise the Lord. Wasn't that awesome? This is why I chose to bring him on to speak to you. Such an eloquent speaker. We love him. Great man of God, and I believe he's really in time, very timely. His messages have been for me, and I know for you as well. We're going to have him come over and visit with us at Rock of Ages really soon, and he's excited to do so. So what do we learn here? Again, the importance of preparation versus panicking. That we shouldn't be out there running out, getting all the plywood and getting all the toilet paper and getting the food off all the shelves and it just, that's a sign of panic. I'm not saying that to say that we're weak, those of us who go and buy a little extra for our pantry. That's okay. But what I'm saying is when you concentrate on nothing else but that, then you're really missing the point. God wants us not only to check our inventories in our pantries, but to check the inventory of our relationship with him in our hearts. Amen. To be careful that what we're allowing in our hearts to be is not something an imposter would come to plant, but that you are getting a genuine relationship established with your Savior through prayer, through fasting, through witnessing, through being faithful in your giving, to be faithful in praying with your children, praying for your meals, being thankful every day, preparing, regardless of what the prophets are saying, and I'm not disregarding their words at all because very important as well. But if I believe that a priority over that is that you and I know that when Jesus comes, we'll be ready. We may not understand all the verbiage of the scripture. I certainly don't. It's a lot. It's a lot. I don't think anybody or anybody in this world really said, well, I understand the word of God from page A to the Z. But one thing we do get right, and what's the simplest message and the loudest message in this book of life that we've gotten, is salvation. And we know what it takes to be prepared for salvation. To be separate, to become consecrated unto the Lord, to always keep his coming in mind, but not in panic, but in great glory. Kind of like the bride waiting for the groom. He says he's going to walk into the sanctuary really quick, and it's going to be awesome because we're going to establish an eternal, perpetual relationship in heaven and in glory. So you prepare, you beauty yourself up, not aesthetically or physically, but beauty your relationship up with God. Make sure that you are prepared in your heart. Don't be foolish like those virgins we're spoken about in Scripture. They kind of took it to the last moment. And all of a sudden, when the bridegroom came, he closed the door. They went out to run to find some oil, and they came back only to find that the party was over. They were already gone to be in the presence of the Lord. So deception. Be aware. Be sensitive. All the way from this political world to what people are saying, to what people, even in the church, the Bible says that we need to test the spirits. And know that the only way you're going to test the spirits is, one, if you maintain a time of prayer with God and you understand the scriptures. You begin to read the scriptures and find out that which is biblical and that which is not. Please make no mistake. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. So don't be surprised. You're going to see a lot of things luster, a lot of things shine. But what's going to make the difference is in your heart. You know that you know, because it parallels with Scripture, that it is the Lord or it is not the Lord. Be prepared. This morning, as I begin to close, I thank you once again for allowing me to come in to your home. I hope you have enjoyed this morning service and this ministry to your life. Let's get our houses in order. And let's not worry about all the jargon, all the yelling that's going on. Understand that what's out in the world, what's running the world right now, is a spirit of confusion and deception. It's the lack of submission to God and the authority of God. This is why the conversations you'll hear don't make any sense. This is why you hear them complain over stuff they don't even know about. It's a stupidity that's taken them over. But rightfully so, because they wanted to play with that for so many years. They wanted to take control over that in their own lives for so long that I believe that God in heaven said, okay, you want some of that? Go ahead. And look at what we have now. We have murder. We have murder on the rise. The very cities that are fighting against defunding our police officers, you know, are the people that are going to suffer so much bloodshed because of the lack of the order. You know, we love our men in blue and every first responder, all our troops, we pray for them. They are necessary. And whatever legislation, and whoever was the very powerful legislator that allowed that to happen here in Austin, as we've heard, shame on them. Shame on them. They better pray, if they have their own God to pray, that no violence or something goes to their door, because they're not going to be defended by those they fired. For all our men in blue out there, for our cops here at Rock of Ages, and anyone who's listening over the internet, we love you. God bless you. We're praying for you. Thank you for your service. All our military group and men out there overseas and inland, we thank you so much for your service, for your surrender. Let's not be deceived. Let's look at the Word of God. Let's know. You see, people perish, the Bible says, for their lack of knowledge. Get into God's Word. Establish your relationship with God. Well, as I close, maybe this morning, as you've listened to me speak, you don't know this Jesus that I'm talking about. You've heard about him. You've gone to Rock of Ages. You've gone to churches. And you've listened, and it makes sense to you, or it doesn't at times. But all you know is that you really have never established a relationship with him. I want to give you that opportunity as I begin to close this morning. You need Jesus. Otherwise, we are open prey for the jaws of Satan in this day. This is what's wrong with all these people. These people are open, easy prey. They're victims of Satan and hell because they have no relationship, no anchor with God. But you can change that right now. if you'll just say yes to Jesus. And I want to pray with you as I give you the opportunity. If you're there sitting there with family members, sitting there by yourself in your living room or in your bedroom, wherever you're watching this program, listen, just lift your hand up with me. Let me pray with you. And you pray this very simple prayer with me. And I believe that according to what the scripture says, if you believe and confess in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. It's not my doing. It's His doing. It's not my promise. It's His promise. So that when Jesus comes, and trust me, by the signs of the times that we have today, I believe that Jesus is coming. When? I can't tell you that I know when He's coming. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to be worrying about what people say and their foreknowledge and stuff like that. It's great and I appreciate it. But I'm going to be concerned about preparation, being right with God, so that when He does come, I'll be ready. And then He can explain the rest of the things that I don't know when I'm in His presence. Let's pray together. Would you repeat after me as I say, Father, it is in the name of Jesus that I come before You. Thank You for this message. I too was in panic. I was too trying to prepare and do all these things, but out of fear. But what You made me understand through this message this morning, Lord, is that the preparation that we need to be doing is in our relationship with You. Oh, what good will it do for us to understand all kinds of prophecy but yet not be saved? Oh, what good will it do for us to choose political sides or to try to figure out what's going on with all these people and at the end lose our own souls because we've not paid attention to our relationship with You? So Jesus, right now, I ask You to be Lord of my life. I need You. I ask You to forgive me of all my sins, that You by Your Spirit would come and just inhabit my heart and give to me words of victory and confidence. Give me instructions of preparation, Father, and how I can better relate to You and prepare for Your coming. Be my Savior today, I ask You with all of my heart. And I commit to You the rest of my life to worship You and to love You. And yes, Lord, with great excitement now to wait for You. This world, the heavens and the earth, the Bible says, may pass away. And they may destroy other cities and people can get crazier if they want. But Your word and Your promise to us will never pass away. We are saved by Your grace and Your love. And I receive that salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, if you would, write us a note, email us, comment, let us know where you're at, if you've accepted Jesus. Jesus is coming, and now we have nothing to worry about if you prayed this prayer, because when He comes, we're going to meet Him in the air to be with Him forever and ever. Rock of Ages, God bless you. Don't lose heart. Thank you for your support once again. Keep supporting Rock of Ages. Remember us, please. This is your church. I'm your pastor, and we love you. We pray for you daily. God bless you, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.